Good morning. It's good to see you. It's always good to see you. I want to say a couple things before we begin. First, some have asked and some are wondering why I look like I do. So let me just explain that so you don't have to wonder or ask. I was told a while ago I have precancerous skin cancer, and so I should take some treatments, and so I'm 2 weeks into those treatments. It's called chemotherapy cream. Some of you know that because some of you have done it before. And the doctor that told me to do this, he asked what I did for a living. I said, I'm a pastor. And he said, well, you'll have to explain to them, because he knew I'd get tore up looking. So anyway, no worries, I'm fine. I just wanted to let you know that because a lot of you have asked. The other thing is, I look at the bulletin, and Casey mentioned this. We're doing two funerals again this week. And so I want to encourage us to pray for those families. But as I look at the bulletin now for the second service, I've learned that two more names on that bulletin have passed away last night or this morning. And so I want to just take a moment to pray. You know, we sing this song. It's a beautiful song, the song that we just sang. Did you see the words there? Maybe we need to sing that again a time or two. There's a lot of good in that song, and yet it's hard. When you think about those that have lost their loved ones, or those that are struggling, or those that are widows, this song sings about all of that, and it's hard. But we can always cry out to Jesus. And so I want to do that right now. I want to just pray for these families, the two that we'll be doing funerals for this week, the two more families that lost loved ones overnight, and those that fall into the categories of that song that we just sang. So I just want to pray before we go any further. Can we? Let's pray. God, our Father, I'm so thankful, and we collectively are so thankful this morning we can cry out to you. We can cry out to you when these things of life happen. We've just sung about a multitude of them. We can cry out to you, and sometimes we think you're not listening. Sometimes we think you're not there. Sometimes we think, do you even care? Sometimes we've been there, Lord, with death and difficulties and divorce and all kinds of stuff. We wonder, Father. And so I just want to pray, Father, for everyone in those categories right now that is wondering, do you care, oh God? Do you know what I'm going through? And yes, we know, Father. I know the answer is yes. Yes, you know. But I want to pray for those that are going through those things that we just sung about. I want to pray, Father, that you would minister to them like only you can. That you would comfort them like only you can. That you would draw them unto yourself, and they would feel the very presence of God. They would feel your warm embrace. They would know you in a way that's not just know about you, but genuinely know you as God, as Lord, as Savior, as friend. And so comfort and encourage and strengthen and heal, oh God, all that hurt this morning. Those that are on our prayer list, those that we will minister to this week because of loss of life, those that lost their loved ones overnight, Father, minister to them all, and every other hurt and every other difficulty, we lift them up to you, oh God, and ask that you would deal only as you can with every situation. Thank you, Father, for loving us. Thank you for caring, for comforting, for providing, for leading. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. As we look at some scripture this morning and are reminded of your blessings, may you be glorified in all of it, I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. So as Casey has said, today is our annual meeting. We will have lunch immediately after the service, and we will have our annual meeting after that. You're invited. Whether you plan to or not, you're invited to have lunch with us and stay for the meeting if you'd like. You're all welcome. And because it's our annual meeting, rather than take all kinds of time over there with goals and praises and scriptural challenges, I want to start some of that in here to go over some of it with all of us for those that can't stay and be part of the rest of the day with us. So three things this morning I want to do. I want to give God praise for what he's brought us through and helped us with and blessed us with last year. I want to share some goals of mine that I will incorporate to us as a church. And I want to see from Scripture 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. If you got your Bible, that's where we're going to be. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. And I want to see from Scripture how we might be challenged to press into this new year as followers of Jesus Christ to draw closer to Him, the living God. So three things this morning and the next little bit. Scriptural challenge, some goals of mine for us, and give God praise for what he's done for us and how he's blessed us this last year. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 9 first. If you got your Bible, if you don't, it'll be on the big screen. It already is there. New King James Version. Here's what Peter wrote. He's writing to believers. He's writing to people that have professed faith in Christ. And so this short little passage here, he's spurring them on to more. He's spurring us on to more, okay? He said, you've put your faith in Christ, but there's more. He's not talking about there's more to get to heaven. There's more in the Christian journey. Here's what he says. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, he said, add to your faith virtue. Okay, he's talking to people that have put their faith in Christ. You put your faith in Christ, but it doesn't end there. As we grow like that plant that comes out of the ground in the spring, God in his word challenges us to grow, to be more like Jesus, to be more led by the Spirit, to be more loving, and all these things. So Peter challenges us, and this is my challenge for me and our challenge for us for this year, giving all diligence, add to your faith these things, he says. The first one he says is virtue. I'll break that down just a little further in a minute. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. Peter is saying, this is what we should strive for. When we put our faith in Christ, it all starts there, friends. If we haven't surrendered completely to Jesus Christ as Lord, you say, Jim, I know about God, I believe in God. Have we surrendered to Christ? That's where it must start. Have I surrendered my life to Jesus? Have I recognized I am a sinner who needs a Savior, and it's Jesus that saves? That's where it all starts. And Peter is speaking to people that have said, I've come to that realization. Christ is Messiah. He is Lord. He is Lord for me. And then Peter said, when you get to that point, it's like that plant coming out of the ground. You see that emerging plant in the spring. It comes up through the ground just a little bit. Maybe it's a potato. Maybe it's a bean. Maybe it's a corn plant. It comes up just a little bit, but it doesn't stop there. With some sunlight and some water and maybe some fertilizer and some tender loving care, keep the weeds away, it keeps growing. That's what Peter said is to happen in the Christian journey. It keeps growing. Add to your faith, he said, these things. That's our challenge. That's my challenge to me and for us from Peter, from the Word of God this year. One of the things that God expects of followers of Jesus Christ is to grow. We call that Christian maturity. We call it sanctification. That's not new to us, though, right? We know that. Amen? God expects us to grow, to be more like Jesus. That same plant that comes out of the ground and just breaks through the soil, you can just see it breaking through the soil. If it stayed there, it's never going to produce fruit. And neither are we. If we just stay there, that's why he challenges us forward in our faith. God expects us to grow. I was reading in the Life Application Study Bible, and it says this: our faith must be more than belief in certain facts. It must result in action, growth in Christian character, and the practice of moral discipline, or it will die. End quote. Bottom line, friends, if our faith in Christ isn't growing, it's probably going the other way. Just like the plant that comes out of the soil, if it isn't growing and reaching up towards the sun, if we're not growing and reaching up toward the S-O-N, sun, we're probably going the other way. One of my goals for this year is to help us in Christian maturity, beginning with me. And I know if you've been in factory world, business world, management world like I have, you know as well as I know, we set these goals, and goals are supposed to be measurable. You hearing me this morning? Our goals are supposed to be measurable. In other words, how are you going to be measuring any progress? Well, look at what Peter said. When I look at that, I see progress. Amen? That's progress in the Christian journey. And let me just say this, friends. Our Christian maturity will not happen by itself. In other words, unlike our age, I seem to continue to age quite rapidly, I might add. Our age continues to mature. Our bodies continue to grow older. But that isn't the way our Christian faith is. It isn't maturing automatically. Just because we wake up in the morning and go to church once in a while, it doesn't mean my faith is maturing. It takes intentional effort and, as Peter said, diligence to follow the Master to mature. It takes diligence to do these things. Giving all diligence, Peter said. That must be how we approach our approach to following Jesus, giving all diligence to that. We spend all kinds of time and money and energy and efforts on all kinds of things that don't matter. The Christian journey will only mature when we are intentional about following Jesus and drawing closer to the Master. I'm reading a book, a great book, by pastor and author and Christian marriage counselor Gary Thomas. And so I'm going to quote him a couple times before my time is up, because he has some good things to say about Christian maturity and other things. And here's one of his quotes about maturity, Christian maturity. We do not need to be mature to reach heaven. We do need to be born again. We can experience salvation just minutes after being enthusiastic heathens. However, without maturity, we will have neither the motivation nor the ability to get involved in other people's lives, end quote. You see what he's saying? As I spiritually mature, as that plant continues to come out of the ground and reach upward towards the sun and receive the light and the rain and the fertilizer, as we continue to do that, we have this ability to get involved in other people's lives, to love like Jesus loved. And Thomas says, without maturity, we don't care about anybody else. And only when we begin to grow closer to the Master and more faithful to Him and more diligent to Him and more Christ-like, we'll begin to love our neighbor and see our neighbor as Jesus sees them. After all, was it not Jesus said the greatest commandment is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind? And the second one is just like the first, to love your neighbor as yourself. Christian maturity. Maybe one of the ways that we measure our Christian maturity, do I love God enough to love my neighbor this year different than I did last year? Maybe that's one of the ways. Let me just speak to a couple of these things that Peter mentioned briefly. When he says, give all diligence in adding to your faith virtue, what does virtue mean? It means goodness. It means moral excellency. Am I more morally sound now than I was last year? Am I doing good per the word of God more than I was last year? Add to your faith virtue. Doing good, not because I'm trying to earn my way to heaven. Doing good and moral excellency because I am more in love with Jesus, more in love with God than ever before. Are you hearing me this morning, friends? This is Peter's challenge to the church. Peter also said, giving all diligence to adding knowledge. This isn't just worldly knowledge. Well, I want to learn more about how to grow plants. That's fine. That's good. I want to learn better how to grow my crops or raise my animals or whatever. But this knowledge he's talking about, this Greek word that's used here is gnosin, and it comes with the understanding, a intellectual pursuit of knowing God more. That's the knowledge he's talking about. Add to my faith a desire to know God more. Makes sense to me. He also says, give all diligence to being self-controlled. That's evident. I don't need to explain that anymore. Give all diligence to pursuing godliness. That's just good advice. I could speak to more of all these, but I don't want to because time's getting away from us. I want to move on. Giving all diligence to brotherly kindness, to love. It's the same what I've already said. Do we love the Lord our God enough to even offer love to anybody else? That's Christian maturity. I love what Pastor Gary Thomas in that same book asked about Christian maturity. He said this, why do so few people ask, how can I grow? Why do so few people ask, how can I grow in the Lord? We ask about how I can plan for my next vacation or how I can get a more education or how I can be more successful or this, that, the other thing. Why, he says, why do so few people ask, how can I grow in Jesus? He goes on, we seem to have an overwhelming desire to drag ourselves into heaven in the same way a hero barely survives at the end of a movie, end quote. Can you relate, friends? I think I can relate to what he's saying. Why do we not pursue Christian maturity, because at the end of the day and at the end of life, nothing matters but what I've done with Jesus. Nothing. I can gain the whole world. And Jesus said, what good is that if I've lost my soul? One of my goals for this year is to help us be more mature in our walk with Jesus. That brings me to another goal for myself and for us as a congregation, and that is to intentionally line up mentors for those that are needing a mentor or those that are new in their faith or brand new believer. My goal this year is to provide mentors, encouragers, disciplers for you. And so if you would like to be a mentor of somebody else, please let Casey or I know. And before you think, well, I can't because I don't know everything. I don't know everything either. Never will. But I have the Word of God and I know who to go to. And we can encourage somebody that's struggling with something, or we can help somebody along on their brand new journey. We can disciple them. We can encourage them. We can pray with them. We can mentor them. That's what I'm talking about. Another one of my goals for us this year in this congregation alone is to see people come to Christ every month to the tune of, I hope to see 25 people come to Christ by the end of the year. Amen? Amen. There's nothing more important in life than, have I been born of God? Have I come to faith in Christ? To say I know about God intellectually is one thing, but have I been born of God? Am I passionate to follow Jesus? That's what I'm talking about. And when I show you some statistics in a minute, you'll see that people did put their faith in Christ last year here. Praise be to God. But I'm praying for a lot more. Eternity depends on what we do with Jesus. And if the Bible is real and it talks about hell, and we don't get right with Christ according to the Word of God, then we're going to hell. And I don't want that for anybody. And I think if we thought about it, we didn't want it for anybody else in our community either. And that's why one of my goals is that before this year is over, I hope to see God moving in the hearts of people and us to plant seeds and to water and to encourage and to pray for and see 25 people come into the kingdom before the year is over, to the glory of God. Last week we had 3. Praise and glory to God at the end of our services. Peter says this. Let me go on because I gotta press on. Peter said this in that same set of verses, for if these things are yours and abound, that's the things he just got talking about. That's the things he's talking to us in the church about. If these things abound in you, Jim and everybody else, you've added to your faith virtue and knowledge and these things, brotherly love. You've added these things to your faith. You're desiring to grow closer to God, to surrender to Him fully. Peter said, if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful. And that's what he expects of the church. The church should never be barren or unfruitful. Amen? The church should never be either. And Peter said, if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he was cleansed from all of his old sins. My last personal goal is this, then I want to share some highlights. I pray about this every week. We pray about it on Saturday evenings when we come together to pray. But my last goal is that the Holy Spirit of God would have complete free reign in our services. What do I mean? Where'd my bulletin go? I like the bulletin for information. It lets you and I know who to pray for, what's happening next. But I do not want the bulletin to restrict the Holy Spirit of God. Are you hearing me? My prayer is and my longing is that the Holy Spirit of God would have free reign in our gatherings, Bible studies, funerals, weddings, Sunday morning services, and everything else. I do not want to be restricted by a piece of paper that said, this is what we're going to do, then this is what we're going to do, then this is what we're going to do. I do not want to put God in a box and say, okay, Lord, this is what we're going to do. Come along and bless it now. I want to see the power of the Spirit of God transform lives. Speak to us and speak to ears that can hear and eyes that can see differently. My goal is that the Holy Spirit of God would move in our worship services and our gatherings often to the glory of God. And so just really quickly summarize. May we be in prayer that salvation will come to our communities, that people will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, that I or we can together can provide and be mentors for people that need mentors, that we together will grow in maturity in Jesus Christ like never before, and that the Holy Spirit will move in powerful ways in our gatherings. That's my goals for us next year. Now, let me take the last few minutes and go over some highlights from last year because so you're aware of this. There were people that made decisions for Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen? Last year, between two river baptisms and two other separate baptisms here inside the church, we baptized 39 people. I say praise and glory to God. Amen? Last year, we saw two of ours rise up in the ranks and moving towards ordination, come to that conference ministerial candidacy position. Matt Erspringer is now shepherding the Henriette Free Methodist Church as the interim pastor and maybe assigned there full-time. And as you know, Casey is on staff here. That happened last year. We added 6 new members last year. We did 9 weddings last year. We did 34 funerals last year, ministering to their families. We had 90 children in our summer vacation Bible school last year. We've got 40-plus children currently enrolled in Awana. And I simply want to say about VBS last year, Awana right now, and our youth group right now, friends, are we praying for them kids? Are we praying for them kids? The world will gobble our kids up. And I'm simply asking, church, are we praying for these children, these young people? There's youth group opportunities and young adult Bible study opportunities to help them grow. And as you can see, there's weekly Bible studies and adult opportunities to grow. If you're not familiar with them, they're on the back bulletin board. They're in the monthly newsletter. We want to help people grow in their Christian maturity. I wrote down 3 community picnics there. Most of you know that each summer we do 3 community picnics down here at the park. And we invite the community to come and have a free meal. And sometimes we wonder if these efforts mean anything for the kingdom. And I just want to say this about those types of things, including the community picnic. Last week, I received a call. There was a man in the care center system that was not well. And so, having known the man just a little bit from the community picnic, I gathered up my brother Casey and we went there to share with him Jesus, read a little scripture and pray. Well, I learned this morning he's already gone. He's already gone to eternity. And our only connection was a community picnic. We wonder sometimes, does what we do matter for the kingdom of God? Because that's why we exist. to matter for the kingdom of God. Yes, to love our neighbors. Yes, to encourage. Yes, to pray for. Yes, to come alongside people in their life. But what we do should be bathed in prayer and Holy Spirit-led, so it matters for the kingdom of God. I want to say thank you especially to our ladies group and people that oversee our widows, because those next three things that are on that bullet point are noteworthy. At Thanksgiving time, there were 42 Thanksgiving meals made and delivered, with additional gift cards to some others. At Christmas time, there was 100 Christmas goodie baskets made and delivered. And at the same time, at Christmas time, there were 40 widows' gift bags prepared and delivered. I just want to say thank you, ladies, for that effort. God bless you. Thank you for ministering to the least of these that Jesus talked about in Matthew. And lastly, I want to say this before I close in prayer. You know, one of the things that God asks of his people is to give back to the Lord. He talks about tithes and offerings. I'm not going to speak to tithes and offerings after I get through the Memorial Stones series, just because I haven't for a long time, and God's Word has a lot to say about tithes and offerings. But I want you to know that when you give to the Lord, it doesn't just go to pay the preacher or keep the lights on. When you give, we do all we can to bless others around this community and around the globe. And those of you that will be at the annual meeting will have a financial statement for you. We'll have facts and figures for you. But I want you all to know that when you give, the board and Casey and I, we're thankful for that. We give too. But we don't squander your giving. And I just wanted you to have just a little snapshot, because I need to collect all these figures and I need to turn them all into our denomination at the year, and I have to do it every year. And so these last fact and figures, I just wanted you to know, because of your giving, because of your generosity, last year we were able to help in the community just around here and with our widows to the tune of $20,000, individuals and individual situations. And also in the relatively local region, $34,500 to ministries that are right here. We partner with them. We come alongside them. LAPS, Lakes Area Pregnancy Support, and Minnesota Adult and Teen Challenge, our local food shelf, Verndale Christian School, MCBI, the Christian Radio, Morrison County, Todd County Chaplains, and even this last year we were able to bless Staples Motley Schools to help families that can never pay off their school debt. We help them too. I want you to know these things because we pray about and we ask for God's leading and discernment at how to help. And so that money went to those categories. The next category, you know that we have missionaries. They've all been here. Pastor Salick has been here. The Cahills have been here. The Rynans have been here. Don Korak has been here. And so when it comes to supporting these global ministries, we blessed them to the tune of $80,000 last year alone. I say praise and glory to God. And if that isn't all, there's more. $26,800 towards other ministries. Some of that could have been helping other pastors. Some of that could have been helping with some building debt or something at Sky Lodge Christian Camp. Some of that was actually money to help in Ukraine through our Bishop's Crisis Fund. But I want you to know that when you give, we pray about and we ask God to show us how to help and where to help, and we help lots and lots of other places. I say thank you, Lord. Now let me say this about tithing before I say one more thing and I'll quit. Because we're able to bless, and you might look at these figures and say, Well, that's a lot. I probably shouldn't have to give that much next year. Please don't take that attitude. God has commanded us to give Him the first fruits. When I give Him leftover, well, He's got something to say about that. And when you and I give generously, God blesses. How many know the blessings of God because of your giving? Hallelujah. I do. I'm not boasting about my giving. I'm boasting about the faithfulness of God when we are faithful to Him. The more you give, the more we can bless. Last year in 2022, I have to keep all these statistics and I have to turn them in, so I figure I'll share them with you because they're fun. They're because of you, and it's good information for you. Last year, our average Sunday morning attendance was 256 for the year. Back up 1 year ago right now, we're still recovering from COVID. Our weekly attendance was maybe 150 because we're still recovering. We're still trying to come together from COVID. And yet in December, it was 275 for our weekly Sunday morning attendance. Last year was 256. But people watch on Facebook every day or every Sunday and throughout the week. And the average weekly Facebook views was 365 average per week. And so these are statistics that I have to gather and I have to turn on to our denomination. And so I wanted you to know these two. I'll talk just a little tiny more about some of this stuff in the meeting part, but I wanted all of you to know these things because maybe you won't be able to be here with us for the meeting. And so let me say this as we get ready to close in song. Let's sing this song together. Let me say this. Will you pray with me for people's salvation? Will you pray with me as I pray for myself and us that we will be more spiritually mature next year than we are now? Will you pray with me that we can assign and find and assign mentors to those that want them? Will you pray with me that the Holy Spirit leads us in everything we do? That's my goals, that's my desires, that's my longings for next year. And so I pray, too, that you will give God glory and praise for the great things that He has done. Do I know there has been hardship? Yes, I know that. I'm the one that did 34 funerals in this church. I know there's hardship. I know there's difficulty. I know there's divorce and mayhem and madness. But I believe God is going to walk with us in all of it. I believe He has. I believe He will. I believe we just need to surrender to Him completely. As we sung before, cry out to Him and let Him lead. And He'll walk with us in the most difficult of times. He will bear us up in the most difficult of times. I'm assured of it because I've seen it before. God has been very good to us. Amen. And I know sometimes in life, life gets hard, gets real hard. I know that. As I look around and I know some of your stories, but the more we trust Him, the more we surrender to Him, the more evidence we will see of His leading in our lives. And so I want to encourage you again this morning, especially if you've not surrendered completely to Christ, call upon Jesus. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We have to come to that point of faith in trusting in Jesus. It all starts there. Before we can mature in Christ, we've got to surrender to Christ. And I pray that if you haven't, that you do that soon and then allow the Spirit of God to lead you in Christian maturity and to be used by God in this journey we call life. You're invited to lunch. It's prepared for us. I'm going to pray for that. It's directly behind us in the fellowship hall. And then we will have our meeting as soon as we're done with lunch. You're invited to that too. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. You have indeed been good. Oh, we all know firsthand that life is hard and some of it isn't even good, but you're good. You're merciful. You're grace-filled, patient, loving, and kind. We praise you for the blessings of life. We praise you for the hope of heaven through Jesus Christ our Lord. It is available to every one of us because of what was accomplished on the cross. Because Jesus shed his blood for our sin, heaven is available. If only we will call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. And so, Father, we pray that you would help us to see the harvest fields. Help us to love those that, well, maybe society looks down on. Help us to point people to the cross and to Christ. Help us to come along and mentor and disciple and love and encourage those that need it. Help us to grow closer to you this year, Lord, than we have been. And Father, by your Spirit, move in our meetings. Move in every one of them, Spirit of God, to the glory of God the Father. Comfort, Father, again, I pray, these that are struggling because of death and difficulty right now. Comfort them, I pray. Encourage, strengthen, heal for your glory. Continue to bless, Father, so we can bless others. Financially speaking, thank you for the blessings of so many that have given so we can be a blessing to so many. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you now for this food. Thank you for the hands that have prepared it. May it be a blessing to our body, to strengthen our bodies. And during our fellowship, may we just be strengthened by that and encouraged by you. Continue to guide us this day, this week, this year, until Jesus comes. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.